Good morning. Good to see all of you here. Good to be here with you this morning. What a beautiful day to give praise to the Lord and lift His name on high. We have a big day ahead of us. We have a lot of things going on with young people this week, and I'm going to spend the next couple of days with some of the boys and things like that. And Bob and Linda are celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary. What an incredible thing. And as he mentioned earlier, and what an example that they set for all of us. They don't look old enough to be married for 50 years, do they? He must have robbed the cradle of Linda, too, I'm sure. But we love them so much. So glad that they're a part of our family here, as Bob serves as one of our shepherds. So we're going to be in Ezekiel 37 today, if you'd like to turn there with me. We're going to read down through the first 14 verses. Let me mention, too, before I get started, at the end of the service, after the closing prayer, if you want to stay and be a part of that, if you have someplace to be, we understand. If you want to sneak out at the end of the service, that's fine, after the closing prayer. We will be showing the slideshow from VBS. Many of you didn't get to see that. We're asking about it, so we have a slideshow of the kids. I think Sunday through Wednesday, total number with each night added together, we had 351 kids over those nights. That doesn't include the adults and the many volunteers that it takes to be a part of that. And what an incredible VBS we had as the community comes in. We average about three community kids for every one of ours. And so we had an incredible event. It was a great week. I got to visit with many people from the community during the week, and what a blessing it was for us to open our doors, have them be a part of our family here for a few days, and experience the life that we share together in Christ. I want to share with you just a couple of personal things this morning as we get into the lesson. And one of them has to do with surviving things, you know, in life. And some of you know that recently, not long ago, I had some problems with kidney stones, you know. And those of you, several of you, have come to me and talked about, you've had them, you've been through this experience. If you haven't, I pray that you never go through it, okay? You know, I felt like I was a pretty tough guy, you know. Many of you were here several years ago when I had a motorcycle wreck, tore myself to pieces. They had to sew a couple of fingers back on my hand and all those kind of things. You know, not once I tried to get up with a broken leg and several breaks down my left leg. I tried to walk back and check on the lady. I was afraid she was hurt. You know, I thought I was a pretty tough guy until I had a kidney stone. I felt like a little girl. And I remember looking at Janine, you know, and I'm moaning, and I said, you know, if we could do this when we interrogate terrorists, they would tell you anything. They would give all their information up. Just like that. You know, it was an incredible experience. It's one of those things that you just want to come to an end, right? And it was interesting. I've had a couple of guys, some members here, who come to me and said, you know, one of them said he curled up in a fetal position and cried like a baby. You know, the nurse who was helping me in the emergency care there said, I've had two children, natural childbirth, and two kidney stones. I would rather give birth to a child naturally again than have another kidney stone. That made me feel better. And I see a couple of women shaking their heads. Yes, that's true. You know, and it's just one of those things you want to come to an end. You walk in, the couple of men I've talked to have had them a couple of times. Walk into the ER, drugs, now I need drugs. I mean, you know, you want it to stop, right? That pain, you want that pain to go away. And when things come after us, when they begin to hold us down, it's almost, I knew that there was hope. I knew the end was coming. I knew the pain was going to go away. And so I made it through it. Without crying one tear, I just want you to know. I moaned bad. You know, but I didn't shed a tear, but it was quite painful. I keep those drugs close now, by the way. In case it ever kicks in again, I want that pain killed quickly, you know. And thank goodness for doctors and medication that make a difference. But sometimes in life, there are those who are in the middle of struggling with something that begin to lose hope. When you have faced something in your life that has made you get on your knees and say, Lord, God of heaven, take this from me. Allow me to find a way out. Allow me to find a way to overcome, to move forward, to find a better place than I am today. And you begin to lose focus. You can't see. You can't see what is in front of you sometimes. There have been times in my life where I felt the need. I would be praying at night in bed, and it wasn't enough. I felt inside my heart compelled to crawl out of bed and get on my knees because my heart was so heavy by the burden that I was praying about. A couple of times in my life, as I hit my knees, that wasn't enough, and I found myself laying on the floor because I wanted to put myself so far below my Father to let Him know, I'm pouring my heart out. I have nothing else to give. I don't know what to do in this situation. I don't seem to have any answers. And every time I've done that, Scripture begins to come to my mind. And so this morning, I want to share with you one of those. If there's anything in your life at this moment, and I would say most of you have something that you struggle with, that's difficult, that is hard, you need this word of God today. Ezekiel 37, follow along with me. Beginning in verse 1. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? What an incredible question, right? As He walks Ezekiel back and forth through the valley and He's looking at the bones, He says, dry bones, right? Nothing left to give in those. The bones that animals have left alive, they're done with them. There's nothing left. They're lying out, they're dry, they're brittle. There is absolutely nothing left to give from those. And in life, we feel that same way sometimes, don't we? We get into situations and we don't have either the wisdom or the energy or the ability. We don't feel like there's anything left to give. And as Ezekiel walks back and forth, it's a reminder of the death that he's surrounded by. I said, O sovereign Lord, you alone. Now in verse 4, then He said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. To these bones I will make breath enter you. You will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. All right, I want to talk about those verses for just a minute. Here is one of those things that God does for us. As He comes and He talks to us and He shares with us through His Word, His wisdom, His way of life, and He's trying to tell us as Christians, look what I'm going to do for you. Seek first My kingdom and all of these things, a few of these things, right? Is that what He said? A few? No, what did He say? All of these things will be added to you. As He gives the Sermon on the Mount and He's talking to these people, He wants to remind them of the fact that I am the God that supplies all your needs. Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these, as he points out the beauty of a flower. Look what I am going to do among you. And we need to be reminded once again of, do we really believe what we know is true. Because sometimes we're like the weed in the wind, tossed back and forth because we doubt. Right? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. When he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life, and stood up on their feet as a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, O my people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that the Lord has spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. You see, there are some things that the Israelites at this time needed so desperately. And often we're in the same boat in our life. Their vision of what they could be, of what they were supposed to become, had been taken from them. They were in great need of a vision to be restored in their life. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And we need to remind ourselves of that because that is the job description. Did you catch that? This is the job description of Satan. To steal and kill and destroy in your life. That's his purpose. To take those things from you. Israel had given up hope. They considered themselves like the valley of dry bones. Nothing left to give. But here's what God says. Look what I'm going to do for you. I'm going to build you back up and make you a great nation. Take you into a land that is your own. From death. From the grave. You shall rise to be the people that I will make you. And in our own lives, it's the same way. So often when I prayed for things, I keep thinking, why, God, why has it happened? Why has it happened yet? I needed this yesterday. Where's my answer? What's going on? I believe in you. You're my God and I know that you're alive. I believe in Jesus. I believe that He lives and that your Spirit dwells within me and your Word. That your life fills me up in all circumstances. And yet here I am waiting and wanting, just like the Israelites, waiting and wanting more. And feeling dry. But there is the thing, is in the valley. I want you to take an idea, you need to picture what's going on here with Ezekiel. As he walks out into the valley, and the valley's covered with the bones, and they're dry. What happens when someone dies? Right? If something dies, and wild animals get a hold of it, and what happens? It begins to spread out everywhere, doesn't it? You know? Mark can tell you real easy, when you're hunting, very seldom do you ever find a full skeleton of anything, right? It's all over the place. It gets drug here and there. And the bones, when he begins to prophesy to them, come flying across the valley. Well, I can't talk this morning, can I? My tongue's getting in the way of my speech. As the bones begin to come together across the valley, and the noise, can you imagine the noise that made? As the bones rose up off the floor and came shooting across the valley, some guy's arms 150 yards this direction and his legs 25 over here. And as those skeletons begun to come together, and then the muscle and the sinew and then the skin, what an incredible picture this would have been to see. And then he says, prophesy that the wind and breathe life into them. And the vast army stands up. You know, I don't think that was quiet. Do you? You remember, those of you who work at VBS, you remember how loud it was just trying to get these kids out of the auditorium? As a vast army that had been dead rises from the floor of the valley, ready by the power of God Almighty. It took a little time. It took a few minutes for that to happen. And sometimes we need to realize that it takes a while for God to work in our lives. God said, I'll give you the strength to become who you need to become. I'm going to take you into your own land. But Lord, I'm dry. I have nothing left to give. You're talking about packing up my whole family and moving someplace I don't want to be. A couple of years ago, I thought I might be headed to North Carolina, and I didn't want to do that. I didn't have the desire to pack up my family and move away from home. But God gives us the strength to do that also. He gives us the direction that we need in life through His Word. And last of all, He gives us new life. Turn with me to Luke chapter 5. I want to share with you a few verses here. It's a parallel to the story that we've just read, really. Luke chapter 5, and beginning in verse 5. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say, I will let down the nets. Because you say, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break, so that they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. You see, here we've got these men who are, they've been out fishing all night long. They haven't gotten anything. They're tired. They're worn out. But because of the stories, because of the things that they've seen in this man, they're going to do what he asks. And says, all right, Lord, because you asked me, I'll push out one more time. I'll throw the nets out. Have you ever felt like that? When you went to go to complete a task, that you felt like you were doing it for no reason at all? Like you thought, I'm going to do this because it's the right thing to do, and I don't know how it's going to come out. I don't know what I'm going to receive or anybody else, but I'll do it because I said I'd do it because I've been told that it's the best thing that I need to do, right? When many years ago, when Keith and I were ministering here together, Keith Schenner, Keith and I used to go over to a retirement home. Sometimes I think I got so much more out of it than the people that I went and spoke to. Most of the people they would bring up for Keith and I to speak to, and Keith and I would lead a song or two and we'd speak to them, and most of them didn't have mine left. And I'll never forget, there was this one little lady, and she would rock in her chair the whole time, you know, and she'd do this, and then every once in a while she'd stop and go, meow. And she'd start rocking, and then she'd reach down and lick the arm, you know. And I thought, and this would be in the middle of my lesson, and I'm thinking, what am I doing? Till one day I started down the hall, and there was a little lady who wheeled up to the door, and she said, sir, can I talk to you for a second? I don't really have the strength. Push my chair out there, but I can hear you from the room. I just want you to know how much I appreciate you being here when you come. And see, well, the thing was, I was angry at that moment. I wanted out of there so bad. I thought, oh no, what? She's going to stop me. I'm going to be here for 20, you know, and then I felt ashamed. But she filled me up that day with purpose again. That's the kind of things that Jesus does for us. And he brings so much into our lives. Now some of you realize I didn't finish John 10:10 a while ago, did I? The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. I have something I want to show you real quickly this morning that's going to help me illustrate a point. It's from the movie Braveheart. I want you to listen very closely to the last statement that he makes at the end of this movie clip. Go ahead, Tori. Everyone dies, but not everyone really lives. Not everyone really lives. As Jesus filled the boats or the nets full of fish and they pulled them in, these men realized there's something greater in life than fish and money. So they left everything there and they followed the Savior. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Right? To the full. There is a life that is living, that is just sustaining, that is just moving from day to day without really understanding the life that is in Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live it in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into His death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life." It's not about existing. Christianity is not about moving from day to day, just doing what we can. It is about a life that is full and complete, that will make us look at the life of Jesus and say, whatever it takes in my life, I will leave it behind. I will count it all loss for the gain of knowing Christ Jesus my Savior. Because He has made me a promise. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. Not just live day to day. Some men live. Some men never understand what it's like to have life. To begin a new life in Jesus Christ. To understand that He gives us strength to accomplish things that other men cannot. I have come that you might have life and have it to the full. And back to Ezekiel 37 again. Death is a part of who we must, that helps us become who we must be. To put it all behind us, to start new. To find a vision, a time of building who we are in Christ Jesus, a time of understanding what it's like to face things with His strength. A direction that will bring us into life, that allows us to share the sweet aroma of Jesus Christ. The new life that we live. Some men live, and some men really live. In the movie, William Wallace is asked to give up everything that he stood for. "Claim allegiance to the king," she says. "If I do that up, I give up everything that I've stood for." And that's exactly what Satan does to us. He comes to steal and kill and destroy who we've become in Jesus Christ. But He has promised us a life that is full in Him. Do you really believe what you know is true? Is the question. When we know that Jesus gives us a life that is full, then we come out of the valley a new man, a new woman. Because we can walk away from the death that we've seen, the death that we experience, and say, in Jesus there is hope and life and a future. Whether it be on this earth or there with Him in heaven. I don't have an end like other men and women do. Because my Savior lives. Don't throw away everything you've stood for in life to this point. Don't let Satan, through his job description, steal and kill and destroy the hope and life that you have in Jesus Christ. So often we get sidetracked. We need, those of you who have not been immersed into Christ and become a part of Him, started your new life, today's that day. To come out of the valley of death, to come away from the dry bones and find life in Jesus. And maybe there are some of those of you who are here today who have just began to waver in your trust in the promise that Christ has made you. Take courage. He is breathing new life not only into you on a daily basis, but to those who surround you. And together, we can change the world that we live in. Thank you for the amen, brother. Because that's what Jesus does for us. He breathes new life into who we are. How incredible is our Savior. If we can help you this morning start a new life, to come out of that valley, to begin again, to find strength and focus, vision for the future, why don't you come as we stand and sing.
Days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of his servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of heaven and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert.
So glad you were here this morning. May God bless you this week as you allow His light to shine through you and share the aroma of Christ. If you're visiting with us this morning, we're so glad that you're here. Please give us a moment to catch you, introduce ourselves, and let you know that we're glad that you were part of our service today.